Have you guys ever heard of a guy in the NFL whose first name and middle name is Hayshon Trayshon?
No, I have not.
You don't want to know who he is?
Who?
Haha, Clinton Dix.
Is that what he goes
That's
with?
That's probably
instead?
Why his name is Haha. Yeah, you willing? You like spoop.
Oh!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your boys locked down. I'm Zach Ferrer, coming to you semi-live with
Chris Krueger.
Just Matt.
Just Matt today.
That was beautiful, by the way.
We just have Matt today. We're here for episode 6 of TLP. That stands for Lockdown
Don't
Podcast.
Call it that.
TLP.
I don't like that at all.
It looks like an abbreviation for toilet paper.
Well, hey, we are a sports podcast. So
are we?
Kind of. So let's get to sports
Sometimes.
Today. Woo! Hey, it was a good week of football last week.
Yeah, it was.
College and professionally. Professional football league.
I'm not very happy about it.
I know you're not. Thursday night sucked for the Panthers.
It was pretty bad.
It was really bad.
How many points did the Steelers score?
52.
Yeah, that's a lot of points.
52.
Big Ben dropped 5. I just want to say, I predicted Cam was going to throw 5 touchdowns on Thursday night. So
that was foolish.
Half right.
Were you?
It was Big Ben, other quarterback.
He had 2 more touchdowns and incompletions.
Roethlisberger?
He only had 3 incompletions.
He had 3 incompletions.
That's probably one of the best games of his career.
The Panthers' defense is a joke.
I didn't think they were that bad walking into that game.
The front 7 is usually like... the back 4 of the Panthers' defense is always pretty bad. But now Eric Reed played like trash.
And then out there trying to kill
people. Dude got
ejected. Exactly,
injected.
Yeah. And then our corners are both like... are both rookies. There's this guy, Dante Jackson, who's usually really, really solid. But he had a horrible game, which, I mean, rookies are going to have a couple rough games during the year. They're learning, especially when he's guarding Antonio Brown the whole game.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no. So, I mean, it's understandable how Big Ben tore up the defense, but still upsetting to watch.
because they really came in there and just knocked the Panthers a new one and pretty much told the NFL how good they actually are. Mm-hmm. I had my doubts against Pittsburgh before that game, just seeing how inconsistent Roethlisberger was this year, but that offense is ridiculous.
It is.
And the defense is suffocating. Like, I couldn't really figure out if it was more of a testament to how plagued the Panthers are right now or just how good the Steelers are. I think it's just how good the Steelers are in total. That's a dangerous football team.
I think the fact that their defense is actually showing up like they've been known for you know, their franchise is known for having a really good defense.
Yeah, the defense has really started to
come. And now that pass rush is coming in, TJ Watt and Bud Dupree and those guys.
Yeah.
Just having that all-around team, and their offense has always been good recently, so.
So, James Conner is currently in concussion protocol after their game on Thursday night. Can we expect Le'Veon to finally report back if Conner is not okay to play the next couple weeks?
Well, he has to report back by Tuesday. That's the deadline. So he's got a couple days. The thought is he's going to report back. That's what everybody's saying. And, you know, if Connor's out a significant amount of time with a concussion, I mean, they'll be glad to have him if he does come back.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, having two great running backs is never a bad thing. You get to split their carries to increase their longevity. You get a guy like Le'Veon, who's much more of a speed back, and you got a guy like Connor, who's more of a one-cut power back, who's still got some speed.
It's a good problem to have.
Exactly. It's a good problem to have. You can use both of them in your offense when Connor comes back and he's healthy. And I don't know. I think Bell will come back. I mean, he's leaving $10 million on the table if he does not come back by Tuesday. Come on, man.
Is he done for the season if he doesn't come back by Tuesday?
Yes. Yep. He's done. He can't report. If he does not come back by Tuesday, he can't report back. I mean, he can, but the Steelers organization has to basically accept it, and they won't do that. So,
Their backup running backs, I think, are Stephen Ridley and Jalen Samuels. Yeah. I think I looked that up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's not great.
Yeah. If James Conner's out and Le'Veon doesn't report, then they're leaning on those two guys alone.
Yeah.
And then the Steelers offense is back to being one dimensional again.
Right.
Which they can do, but they won't be as effective.
You just can't expect Juju and Antonio to get separation every single play and then have to rely on Ridley or Samuels to try and have a good run game when Connor has been killing it all year.
You don't want to rely on Stephen Ridley to have a good run game.
Ever.
Tom Brady learned that the hard way.
Yeah. What was it, like 2007, 2008?
I think it was a little bit later than that. Yeah.
That was Lawrence Mahoney. Remember that guy?
He was a boss. Dude,
dreadlock man. I love that guy.
Heck yeah.
LeGarrette Blount.
He's play with a Madden, too.
Who's LeGarrette Blount play for now?
The Lions.
Oh, they're bad.
Yeah, with Matt Patricia.
Yeah,
the Lions are really bad.
Yeah, although they beat the Patriots.
Well,
that was more because Matt Patricia knew exactly how to stop Tom Brady.
They were better that day.
Because he ran the scout team against Tom Brady for like 10 years. So he knew how to stop Brady.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or Bill Belichick said, I'm going to let you have this win so it makes me look better to know that you were once on my team. And now you're off flourishing. So you're welcome. It's probably not the case.
Kind of doubt that.
My opinion is I think Le'Veon should come back. I don't think he will.
I don't think he will either.
Really?
Everybody's saying that they're thinking that he's going to come back, which, I mean, it makes sense. James Conner's out. It's like they're giving him a piece of cake. It's like, here you go. Here's the starting running back job. You can have it back. Come on in.
He tweeted out.
And I just don't think he's going to come back.
Earlier this week, he tweeted out that he said, like, so long, Miami, or farewell, Miami, threw up a deuce. But he didn't say he was coming to Pittsburgh, so I just thought it was more trolling the internet, being like, hey, I'm moving up to Orlando now. Just want to let you know I'm leaving Miami.
It's Saturday, and he still hasn't even talked to anybody from the Steelers organization about coming back. And again, he only has 3 more days to do so. So maybe he's just going to, like, have a hero's entrance. And come in like Monday.
Like Bobby Boucher, like, the Bourbon Bowl.
Coming up like Monday at 3 in the afternoon when they're about to go home or something like that.
When all hope is lost.
You know what's interesting? He tweeted 2 days ago, I think it's safe to say it's time to pass the sticks.
Uh-huh.
Which I don't know if that. He's not that old, I don't think.
26.
Yeah. He's not retiring or anything.
Well, no, he's not.
But
I don't think he's going to retire.
I don't know if he's just like letting James Conner take the job. And
I think
then
it means pass the torch, I think.
Yeah, and then maybe next year he'll look for a different team or something. But
he's looking $10 million.
That's a lot of money, man.
Yeah,
so much money.
James Conner actually has more rushing touchdowns this year than Le'Veon has ever had in his entire career in a single season.
Yeah.
Already.
That and the offensive line actually likes James Conner.
They love James Conner, dude. He's that blue-collar guy that you want to block for.
Yeah.
Le'Veon is like that diva guy that you know is like talented, and he gets all the press conference, and it's like, I hate this guy, but damn it, he's a talented runner.
He's like,
when you're an offensive lineman, you do not like Le'Veon Bell.
He reminds me of in season 3 of Friday Night Lights when J.D. McCoy came in, and he was so much better than Saracen. And they started him, and he was so good, but the team hated him. Or in The Longest Yard when Adam Sandler, you know, took the deal for his freedom. I don't freaking remember what happened. But the offensive line, like, I feel like if Le'Veon came back, or at least in practice, it'd be like, all right, take this ball. And the O-line would just, like, stand there and let him take a hit. Like, all right, guys, I'm sorry. And then, like, oh, we'll do a couple more plays here with this.
I really hope if he does come back to the Steelers that the first play they run, like the first run play that they do on Sunday, is they just run up the middle and none of the line blocks. And Le'Veon's just like, all right.
I would like Myles Garrett come and just like spear the crap out of him.
I deserve that.
Yep. All right, so moving on. The Cowboys aren't good. I mean, they're okay.
They're not good.
But they're not good. You guys have any thoughts? Like, I have
Dak Prescott jersey in my closet hasn't gotten very much use this year.
Nice. I wanted a Zeke jersey for a while.
I do.
I love Zeke.
I got a Dak jersey during his rookie year. And I became like a hardcore Cowboys bandwagon.
I don't blame you for it. I actually like the roster they have this year.
Me too.
But
they should be better than they are. And you gotta attribute that to the coaching because the talent they have is pretty solid. Their defense is actually pretty good.
They should be probably at least, what week are we in? 11?
10.
10. they should have only lost like two or three games.
Well, they're 5-3. They should be five. I mean, they're 3-5. They should be 5-3.
Yeah.
Like there's three two games. Wow. Yeah. There's two games that they should have won. They left out there. Realistically,
they have a good team, and they got some really good cheerleaders on the sideline.
Yeah, oh, you mean their head coach?
Like Jason Garrett. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, their head coach. The best cheerleader of them all.
Yeah, good job. Yeah, you got this.
Dak goes an interception, and he's just like, yeah, okay, good
yeah,
try,
it's okay,
guys.
You'll be better next time.
I'm really upset about the Cowboys, guys.
What's got you upset?
I'm a man with a lot of words, okay? So I, this week, sat down and wrote a little essay for the Dallas Cowboys. I might even turn it in. Might send it to their social media representative. Listen, we've seen enough of this Cowboys football team this year to know why they're garbage. We've seen it in previous seasons to know why they're in garbage, why they are garbage. Could we point it at Jason Garrett? Probably. Could we point it at Dak Prescott? Probably. The offensive line? Probably. Some defensive injuries? Probably. But there's one person I want to point at today. This same person should deserve to be pointed at until he's gone. Because these things are going to keep going. They're going to keep happening. Jerry Jones is the reason this Cowboys team is terrible. And it has me very bitter. So, there's a dumpster fire brewing in Dallas. And it's been burning since the world's been turning. I'm just trying to compose myself here, guys. I'm really upset about this.
He's reading a big essay from his laptop
right
now.
I'm reading a big essay from my laptop.
Just to let you guys know what's happening.
All right. It's time to clean house and start over in Dallas. Let's fire Jason Garrett, which is way overdue. It's been way overdue to pull the hook on Jason Garrett. Fire Scott Linehan. The play calling sucks. It's atrocious. It's awful. Figure out if Dak Prescott can actually play professional football in the NFL. If he can't, forget the big contract in a year and find someone else who can. You can't just keep firing position coaches and expect better results. But what does Jerry Jones think of all this obvious and needed decisions? Ha! LOL. K. He keeps and contractually protects all of these plagued assets, and it's ruining this team. But in my mind, guys, I think he thinks it's funny at this point. I think this senile old man thinks it's hilarious to watch this Cowboys team continue to get plagued by these terrible assets that are ruining this team. So, oh, what's that? A terrible quarterback who can't throw downfield, can't make a read, and can't do anything much of else? Let's extend him. Oh, look. Is that a head coach who spends more time clapping than coaching and won't give his all-pro running back carries? Extend the man! Hot damn! Is that a first-round pick burning a hole in your pocket? For the love of God, trade that thing! What is happening in Dallas right now? And it's driving me crazy. Listen, I, as much as the next person, love watching Dallas lose. I like the roster, but America's self-proclaimed team, I like watching them lose. I think it's great. I like having the Redskins in first place in the NFC East. I think it's cool. I like that Philly won it last year. The Giants can go fly a kite for all I care. But I like watching this team lose. And recently, it's been bothering me. I don't know what you guys think about this, but I'm really upset.
I think that essay just about sums everything up.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty perfect, I honestly think. I agreed with everything that essay says, although I think I still haven't lost faith in Dak Prescott, man.
I'm trying to.
Everybody in the media has kind of lost faith in him. A bunch of people say that he's a backup quarterback. I don't know. I still think he can be a starter in the league. I really do. We saw what happened with Jared Goff as soon as he got Sean McVay, a competent offensive coach who understands schemes of this century. And guess what? He became a star. And Dak Prescott can do the same thing. The problem is everybody in that organization thinks that they're playing in 1982.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And that's the way they call plays, and that's the way that the coaching, that's the way they coach, and that doesn't work anymore.
I feel like Jason Garrett and Mike McCarthy are kind of in the same realm. We are not going to rant about Mike McCarthy
again. No, it's not happening.
I can't do it. My heart and my head can't take it. But they're in the same playing field where, like, they're so old school and they refuse to. And I think there could be a benefit to being old school, but this is like a bad old school where they're refusing to shift the schemes to a modern quarterback like Aaron Rodgers or Dak Prescott, who are modern quarterbacks who scramble when needed to, who need creativity in the wide receiver routes, and they're not getting it, and they're struggling to produce. Like Matt was saying, I love Dak Prescott. I think he could be a fantastic quarterback if given the right offensive coordinator and head coach and offensive scheme, but he's not getting it, and it's not helping him at all.
I think he's a better quarterback than Alex Smith.
Agreed, yeah.
You know what I mean? I think you throw him and Alex Smith in the same system, I think Dak wins that job every time. You know, not only because of his age, but just because he has a lot more speed. And he may not be super accurate down the field, but for the most part, he usually makes good decisions. He's been struggling this year making decisions, and I think a lot of that is because he's trying to force things, because the play calling is so bad that they'll get into 3rd-and-12 situations all the time. And they have a hard time putting the ball in the end zone because they don't give the ball. What they do is they'll do something super predictable. So they'll just like give the ball to Zeke twice in a row right up the middle. And it's like, okay, well, now you have a 3rd-and-12 because they put 9 guys in the box. So what do you do now? And then it's like, we throw a screen. And it's like, so you're basically saying you want to punt the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you watched their drives, half of their drives is basically the offensive coordinator saying, we can punt the ball here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
2nd-and-15, halfback dive. You know? You know, 3rd-and-11, wide receiver screen. It's like, okay, occasionally that stuff will work if the defense doesn't see it coming. But the only reason it works is because maybe you're like Aaron Rodgers, where you spread out the offense all the time, so yeah, it catches them by surprise. If that's your base offense, 2nd-and-14 running a halfback dive, it's not going to work, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's infuriating watching the team. It really is, because I'm definitely somebody who I think has a pretty good knowledge of the sport. So I'll sit there and be like, oh, they should run this right now. They'd be really smart if they ran this. Oh, but if they ran this right now, this would be better. And every play for the Dallas Cowboys, I'm just like, in my head, every single time, I'm just like, why'd they run that?
Yep.
Doesn't make any sense.
3rd-and-10, I still open the middle.
Yeah, you know, makes perfect sense. Yeah, I know, but the team's infuriating. Gets me pretty mad, too.
I think another guy that's mad recently is Dez Bryant. And I feel really bad for Dezzy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. He, for those of you who missed it, he got signed by the Saints to one year. What was the money he got paid?
I have no idea.
I don't know. It was probably like $1 million or something like that. But he got paid like on Wednesday by the Saints for a one-year contract. When I saw that, I knew this was going to help the Saints, but he wasn't going to be the priority. This offense still runs through Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. So it was kind of a win-win for New Orleans either way, because when you get into the red zone, then you have guys like Dez Bryant who are going to be great in the slot. So it was awesome. I was honestly excited for this. I still am excited for the Saints. I like the Saints team. But was it his first day of practice?
His first day of practice.
And he tears his Achilles. Most likely.
Is it official? Because they were fearing it.
But they were fearing it, but he's probably out. I mean, the good news is, I believe Chris was telling me this week that Michael Crabtree tore his Achilles, and he came back from that. But at the same time, he was a younger guy. He was what? 20?
That was somebody else who told you that?
That was somebody else. My bad. it was another Chris.
Also, though, in terms of the wide receivers, Michael Crabtree has always been a really crisp route runner.
True.
It's always kind of been his game. And that's never been Dez Bryant's game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? With the Saints, he was going to have to basically learn how to run sharp, precise routes. And, you know, he'll be, you know, 31 years old as soon as he can recover from the torn Achilles. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have a lot of experience running, you know what I mean, a large array of routes. I don't think he really fits in this era of football anymore.
And they were asking, the Saints coaches were asking him to lose, what, 5 to 10 pounds?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he came in a little bit overweight.
Yeah, which is
probably a good reason why he ended up tearing his Achilles, because he was out of shape.
Probably trying to put on the handles on practice squad and put the handles on himself.
Who knows how much he was actually practicing throughout the season.
Probably as much as Le'Veon is. Which
so none?
Yeah. I don't know. Like I just feel bad knowing Dez Bryant. They play the Cowboys week 13 in Dallas, right?
Yep.
Homeboy was stoked and thinking about that game from the moment he got signed in New Orleans. You know he was. And he's going to go in saying, I'm going to get a 200 burger. 200 yards, 4 touchdowns. Let's do it. And I like Dez. I always have liked Dez, except when the Packers were playing him. It was not a catch, by the way.
I hate you.
But I feel for the guy. I really do. As prideful as he is and as much of a bad atmosphere he would bring into the locker room in the past, I knew he was looking for a turnaround this time around. And yeah. I feel for him. It sucks. But the good news is for the Saints, this doesn't really hurt their offense at all because they're still 7-1, right? They've lost one game.
7-1? Yeah.
Yeah, they are a one-loss team through week 11.
Yeah.
Wait, that doesn't make any sense.
Week 10.
Week 10. 8. Not whatever. They've lost one game. Michael Thomas is still one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Alvin Kamara has been bringing it. Drew Brees is having one of the best seasons of his career.
It's crazy. The dude's like
38.
38 years old.
He passed, what Manning record did he pass recently? Was it the passing yards?
Passing yards.
And he's close to touchdowns, too. That's Manning's record, too.
Mm-hmm. Dude's unbelievable.
I hope he gets to the Super Bowl. I really do.
If they win the Super Bowl this year, would you guys think that he would just walk out, like, just, like, be done?
I don't think
just
so.
From there?
Or no, I don't think so.
I agree. I don't think so.
He could be the GOAT.
Yeah.
If he could have a big run with this Saints team for multiple years in the next couple of years.
They got great coaching.
He's going to have all the records.
Yeah.
So if he can win a couple, if he can win two more Super Bowls, and he's going to have every single quarterback record in there over Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, why is Tom still with the GOAT?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? because he's the luckiest player that's ever played in the NFL.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
He's won 5 Super Bowls.
But because of Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Does that make Tom better because he played with Bill Belichick? Of course not. So, if you know what I mean? If Drew Brees has 2 more fantastic years and he wins 2 Super Bowls, all of a sudden now he's the GOAT.
Plus, Brees is, he's like 6 foot tall. He's
exactly.
Like he's not physically gifted, really.
He's just so
good.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw him playing catch with his kids, but he left his daughter wide out in the flat. And I'm just saying, that's declining in his career. So people are missing the obvious signs here. But, you know, Manning has 539 total passing yards. Brees is sitting at 506, which is 2 behind Favre at 508. Mm-hmm. So he needs, 32 more touchdowns to pass Manning. He could play next year and drop 30-40 touchdowns.
Listen, you can't hit the quarterback anymore.
Yeah.
The only reason why Peyton started to decline was because he had that horrid neck injury when that guy like broke his neck and then he had to get reconstructive surgery. That's what ended up basically started his downfall. When you can't hit the quarterback, these guys are going to play till they're like 45 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like guys like Brady and Brees and Manning, all three of those guys are not physically gifted.
No.
You know, they're not like Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
But they're so smart.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't get hit, you know, it's like they can pick apart defenses easy. Yeah. That's just what they do. They're just so smart out there. It's just like there aren't many guys that have been like that ever
exactly.
in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So Brees leads the all-time passing yards record with 72,000. Brees has 68,000. I don't know if he's going to, especially Brees is going to keep playing. I don't think Brady's going to catch
Brady
Brees.
Didn't have much more time.
I mean, the Brady thing, people want to act like he's like against, like people want to act like he's never going to decline, but he's already started to heavily decline this year.
He has.
If you can, comparing their stats over the past like 3 games, Dak Prescott has a better QBR and more touchdowns than Tom Brady.
Yeah, he does.
And it's like, the dude's played like kind of garbage.
you know who else does?
You know what I mean? So
Nick Mullins,
that
he's
boy.
He's starting this week, too.
Who do they play?
They play
the Giants on Monday night.
Prime time, baby. Ooh, prime time,
prime
baby.
Time Nick Mullins.
In San
Let's
Francisco.
Go, son. I probably just blew the mic up right there. Dude, sorry about that, everybody.
I love Nick Mullins, a.k.a. Brett Favre 2.0. I am so excited that we get to see him in the beginning of his career. And then 10 years from now, we'll be like, man, Can you believe Mullins passed Breeze's record for passing yards last week?
He's going to be garbage.
He's going to be total garbage.
I mean, it's awesome to sit here and act like he's going to be amazing. And maybe he will be.
Same thing happened with Colin Kaepernick. Remember? Like,
yeah.
Ooh. He started off so well with San Francisco. He was like the big hype. They almost won the Super Bowl with him that year. And
should Kaepernick be playing in the NFL right now?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which team do you think?
The Jaguars.
Oh. I agree.
Didn't even let him finish.
Oh, I agree.
I've thought about this extensively.
Yeah?
The fact that they would extend Blake Bortles when he shows no promise for the future. He's incredibly inaccurate. He has worse pocket presence than like Ryan Tannehill before he just takes off with the ball and runs straight into a defensive lineman.
That's bad.
He can't do anything. He sucks.
He sucks.
He's the worst starting quarterback in the NFL. He's garbage. And, at least Kaepernick is fast.
Yeah.
Could he complete? Could he complete a higher percentage of passes? I don't know. Probably not. But he could at least run.
You
know what I mean?
He's got a big arm, too.
He's got a big arm.
Yeah.
I mean, his last 2 years with San Francisco, he was really inaccurate. But he can run.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bortles.
And I mean, you could probably attribute that to him having pretty bad receivers in his last couple of years in San Francisco.
Yeah. I don't think he really had that much talent.
He had, like, Torrey Smith, I think, and that was it.
Yeah.
I think he had Frank Gore when he was playing
with them. He had, like, old Frank Gore and, Torrey Smith, and then, yeah, that's it.
The Jags need help at quarterback right now because this is a team that a lot of people are saying could go to and win the Super Bowl. And
let alone go 3-5.
Yeah, probably, the Texans are probably going to win the division at this point.
Yeah, they are.
Probably.
I don't know if the Jags
will play. They look good.
So,
man.
Listen. Matt remembers me picking the Texans to go to the Super Bowl this year.
You did.
I said the Texans were going to beat the Pats in the AFC Championship game and face, I probably said the Packers because I'm biased. But still, I am so not really that confident.
They're not beating the Patriots.
But I'm still stoked. They've won like 6 in a row, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Should have lost 1 in a row.
So I just want to keep that on record. That's right.
Was that Brandon McManus who ended up losing them the game?
It wasn't really his fault. It was Vance Joseph not managing the game correctly.
Not being aggressive.
We should have... okay, so for those of you who didn't know, Houston was beating the Broncos 19-17 in the fourth quarter, and the Broncos are driving down the field. And, you know, we could have gotten a lot of yards to set up Brandon McManus for a game-winning field goal against the Texans to snap their 5-game winning streak. But, you know, we're going to be conservative, and we're just going to let the clock run out, and then we're going to call a timeout with, like, 4 seconds left and trust McManus to kick a 51-yard field goal, which he just totally botches. And it's just like, what are you doing?
You seem upset, Chris.
I'm very upset.
Yeah. Demaryius had a fantastic line after the game where they were like, if you were still on the Broncos, would you openly question Vance Joseph's like play calling and what they did there? And he was like, yeah, over there, they don't really play to win. Where I'm at here, we play to win games. And I was like, that's a tough one.
I might have had a couple of tears run down my eyes.
Yeah, you did.
But I'm happy for Demaryius because I think he's in a much better situation.
Yeah,
I'm happy for him too. I like him a lot. You know,
I like him a lot. He actually has a stable, like, all-pro quarterback now. I don't know.
All-pro? Well, yes. Soon to be.
Yes.
Probably.
Yes, Chris.
He's good, man.
He's good.
His offensive line is garbage.
and he's still producing.
And he still produces.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's really good.
There's no way they're not going to win that division, though.
They're head and shoulders above everybody else in that division.
Especially against Demaryius.
Yeah.
Their offense is complete all around. Their defense is one of the best in the league.
Yeah. They're solid. Yeah. J.J. Watt's back. He's playing good.
He's been the whole defense has been good. Mm-hmm. But so let's switch gears a little bit. Let's move on to some National Basketball Association talk.
All right, best team in the East. Who you guys got? I'm gonna start with Chris because we all know Zach's answer.
Nope, you don't.
Best team in the East right now?
Yeah, like garbage.
The Milwaukee Bucks.
Heck yeah.
Yep.
I retweet.
Yep.
They have crazy length all over
the
floor.
It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Makes me so mad.
The Greek freak, Giannis, it's just incredible what he can do sometimes. Like, he'll go from past the three-point line, and it'll take him 2 dribbles to get to the hoop and dunk it.
Yeah.
It's like, the dude is like a giraffe out there.
It's stupid, dude.
He's a freak.
I just don't want to play Milwaukee at all this year. I want to be able to, like, have Brad Stevens just be like, you know what? we're just gonna forfeit and we'll see y'all in the playoffs. And like all the game, like I don't want to play this team. They're the best team in basketball.
The Nuggets host them tomorrow. It's gonna be
fun
to watch that.
Worked,
dude. John Henson, their center, made Kevin Durant look like a baby. He blocked him like five times. Kevin kept trying to take it to the hoop, and each time John, without even like barely jumping, would just be like, "Get that out of my house."
Oh my!
It was awesome.
This team, like, and they're this team's freaking proving it right now. Like, they have the top net rating in the league right now. They're 9-2. Yeah, 9-2. They manhandled the Warriors. Was it last night?
Two nights ago.
Yeah. Well, again, 23 on the road. God.
Again, the reason why is because with the way the Warriors play defense, it's so hard to guard them. Because if you don't have that crazy length, they just take three-pointers over you all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're so accurate. The thing that they do that they do really well is they have defenders all over the court who can step up. John Henson can guard Klay Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Chris Middleton can step up and guard Steph Curry. They're all agile and they all have length. So all of a sudden, this defense that maybe people weren't respecting enough is one of the best defenses in the NBA.
Easily. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they're an impressive team, man.
They got Brook Lopez now at center.
Yeah, they do.
He's a really good offensive center.
Mm-hmm. And he can shoot threes now, apparently.
He can. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this Bucks team a lot. I'm not counting out my Celtics yet. I think eventually.
That was a rough game against the Jazz yesterday, though. I saw that.
Dude,
one.
What? Listen, let's just talk about off the court stuff for a second.
Yeah.
Why does Utah hate Gordon Hayward?
I don't
so
get
much?
That either.
I don't understand.
Every time
it's
he
not
got
like
the
he
ball.
Said, "Hey, Goff, Utah, I'm going to Boston." His contract expired, and he wanted to go win a title
and go with
a
Brad
better
Stevens.
Team with a coach he's been with in Butler. And then I saw one guy wearing a Hayward jersey, number 20, and on the back it said "Coward."
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I bet one
infuriated.
Off.
I don't understand why they hate him. I'm just gonna start tweeting at Utah fans and be like, dude, give me like three reasons why you should hate Gordon Hayward. I don't think you can name one right now.
What was one bad thing he did to your city and your team? Nothing.
Oh, he left.
He was your best player.
I don't know, dude.
He never said anything bad about the organization. He didn't do anything.
He left.
He went to Boston when he got a new contract. Had a horrible injury.
Yeah.
He's rehabbed from that. You know what I mean? He's worked really hard to come back. Gets on the floor, then he gets booed out of the place by his former team.
I think I'm almost positive the Celtics played them last year as well. And, like, this happened. It was like the tour of, you know, when every time they go to an arena, you know, the first time they're there, they did, oh, Hayward, we're praying for you. You know, we're wishing you the best. Da, 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 da. Oh, he's healthy now. Oh, sweet. Now we can talk crap. Like,
yeah,
dude. Like, I was really upset about that.
That
it makes no sense.
Disrespectful.
No sense. Yeah. I mean, I understand Utah doesn't really have a lot going on for them sports wise. That's pretty much the only good sports team they have, and they're not even that good. So
they're pretty good.
Well, I'm just upset. I'm really upset. They are good. They beat us. The Celtics are also...
Well, the Celtics didn't have Kyrie either. If they had Kyrie, they may have beaten them. But who knows?
We also got swamped by Phoenix. The Phoenix Suns.
You also lost to the Denver Nuggets.
The Phoenix Suns.
The Denver Nuggets are good. What do you stop it?
Shut up, Chris. I'm upset right now. Don't talk to me. But you know what? It's okay. Honestly, it's all okay.
Why is it okay?
Because the Boston Red Sox are World Series champions.
I hate you.
So I got my gear in this week. I'm excited.
Yeah, you did. You posted it on Instagram.
Yeah, I did.
Are we all ready for an NBA Finals like showdown with the Nuggets and the Bucks coming up?
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie right now.
You're
Chris,
a joke,
you're
dude.
An idiot. I love you, Chris.
We're 9-3. Come on.
You're but Chris, it is November. The playoffs start in May of 2019.
Hey, it's not
joke. It could
any
be
confidence.
A joke by then.
Hey.
Ooh, got him.
I'm a fan of the Broncos and the Seminoles, and they suck. The only team that's good right now is the Nuggets, and I'm going to be proud of them, and I'm going to be confident.
This is all he has going for him right now. I feel
shut
for
up.
Chris.
Guess what I have? Nothing.
You got the Panthers. They're 6-3.
They just got beat by 30 points.
It's one game. You never know. They played a good Steelers team on the road. Give them a break.
Chris, Carolina's not good. They're not good right now.
They had their 6-3 because they played a bunch of teams like the Giants and, you know, the Bucks twice.
Well, they almost lost the Bucks pretty...
That's
embarrassingly.
What, yeah.
Who's Auburn play today?
Who are they? Georgia.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
The Bulldogs.
They shot back up in the top 25, only to drop right back down again.
They're 2014.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Matt, how are the Heat doing?
You know,
Hassan Whiteside, did
I
you
just
see
wanna
him
do,
the
I just want to take a roundtable how Matt's doing emotionally. Yeah.
The Heat are a fun team because they play a style of basketball that I actually enjoy to watch,
yeah.
Which is like hard-nosed defensive basketball, get the ball in the paint, you know what I mean? Reminiscent of like old times. Yeah. I hate this new era. I sound like an 80-year-old man.
You are.
I hate this new era. All these guys taking, all these centers taking three-point shots.
Fair point.
It's like I want to kill myself. I hate it. No, but I don't know. You watch the Heat, they limited the Spurs to like 33% shooting and 88 points, and it's like, this is amazing. Like,
yeah.
Did you see Hassan Whiteside's first half against them? He had eight blocks,
dude.
Eight.
Did you see those Miami awesome. Vice uniforms, though?
Yeah,
oh,
I did.
They were hot, dude. They were fire.
Well, they lost to the Pacers last night, which wasn't fire. But
Oladipo is having like a
fire.
He's trying
Oladipo
to get
was amazing,
MVP,
dude.
Bro. He's having an MVP season.
I knew
he's
he was like a really
it.
Good player, but I thought the Pacers were going to be bad. I was like, you're relying on Victor Oladipo to like save you in like all these games. Not going to happen. But it's been happening. Like
I think the Pacers won that trade where they traded away Paul George for Victor mm-hmm. Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis, I think his name is.
Oh, yeah.
I think mm-hmm. the Pacers may have won that trade.
Yeah, I think that's so.
The one thing I've noticed about the Pacers, and they proved this against Boston, is if you find them in a close deficit, they're going to win every single time. Oladipo's up there calling game like from 30 yards out. Like, no, I got this. Boom, nails it. It's the guy is killing it.
He's
this
got ice
the whole
in his
team.
Veins.
He does.
He's... I don't know. It's been a weird start to the NBA season. I'm not going to lie.
The Rockets, the Thunder, and the Lakers have all been disappointing so far.
No, for sure.
But then you have teams like the Pacers and the Bucks, who, I mean, you probably could have foreseen the Bucks having a success,
mm-hmm.
but not like this style. Not like blowing out the Warriors type success.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So it's been a fun year.
Oh,
you know, I still think when DeMarcus Cousins is healthy and he comes back for the Warriors, I still think they're going to run through everybody in the playoffs, just being realistic. But maybe the Bucks can make it interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
I can see that.
I don't see really anybody in the East other than maybe if Gordon Hayward finds his footing again, Kyrie can come back for the Celtics and play like fantastic basketball, maybe the Celtics could get there. But
I trust Brad Stevens to bring back.
I mean, it's early. Again, it's really early.
The East is actually fun this year because LeBron's not in the East now.
Right.
So now there's like actual competition in there.
Exactly.
It's not going to be the Cavs every year.
You don't really know who's going
to
win.
Speaking of LeBron, what is happening to the Lakers right now?
Well,
they're lackers.
I mean, they won.
Nice.
Yeah.
They beat the Timberwolves. I mean, on the surface, it's more impressive than it is. Sure. It seems more impressive because it's like you look at their talent and it's like you beat this super talented team. Wow. And then it's like, yeah, but they don't really play that well together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And like when they played Toronto, was it Sunday? I believe Sunday they played the Raptors. They were trailing by 31 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
In the first quarter, they were trailing by 31. And it, like Matt's saying, like there's just not, and a lot of people were saying either this team is going to click automatically because it's LeBron and they're going to soar off, or it's going to take at least half the season to build some chemistry. Like
it's going to take a while.
Just look at who they have in their team.
Yeah, no
they
shooters.
Got JaVale McGee, Lance Stevenson.
JaVale McGee has been like a star for them, though.
Well, now they got Tyson Chandler.
Yeah, Tyson Chandler's huge too.
He should be the starter now.
I don't know though.
Probably a conventional center.
JaVale's
too.
A boss, man.
It's just hard to take him seriously, man. Him and Lance Stevenson, I can't take him seriously.
That's fair. But then you get, you know, Magic is roasting his own head coach.
Oh, my
God. Why are you sub 500? I don't know, because we have a new team and it's taking longer than we thought to build chemistry. Chill, Irving. Like,
because we have two point guards who can't shoot, and then we have LeBron James, who's a primary ball handler. Like, what do you want me to do? You want me to trade Lonzo and Rajon Rondo? I mean, like, what? You can't play him.
And LeBron's out there, you know, he's putting in extra practices, and he's staying after the game. Oh, by the way, I'm totally lying. He's out partying in Los Angeles after games.
Oh, of course.
You know.
You kidding me?
It's a lot of hard work going into Los Angeles right now. I like to see it.
Absolutely.
Listen, man. He brought a title to Cleveland.
Yeah.
And he's won three championships.
Yeah.
I don't think he cares anymore.
I agree. He's just here to get that money.
He loves his kids. He's going to get his money. He's going to have a good time. And then he'll retire in a couple years.
And you don't want to see him when he's lost his patience, as he said to the media. You don't want to see me when I'm angry, basically. Like, LeBron, we've seen you when you're angry and you just pout. So we do want to see you angry, actually.
You do.
I do. Yeah. I love it.
Those Lakers rookies do not want to see him angry. Yeah. I guarantee that.
Yeah. It'll be
because
like,
because then they're gonna miss one shot in the corner and LeBron's like, all right, you're not getting the ball for the rest of the game.
It's just like Russell Westbrook, dude. He's like, he takes it down like, all right, I'm gonna kick it out to you. Oh, you're not getting this ball for seven drives. And they'll try it again to somebody else. Oh, fine. I guess I have to do this now. And that's basically what happens when LeBron gets mad. That's right. What he's saying. He just doesn't feed the ball anymore. But you can't blame him. Because right. He can't trust his teammates, because this exactly. is what happened in Cleveland probably like 3 years ago before, or probably longer than that, when they were back, you know, when he came back and he was still getting used to his team. This is all we saw, was that he didn't trust his teammates enough. And then we saw it in the playoffs, I believe that first time they came back, that he just didn't want to feed it off. And that's why they lost, is he didn't trust his teammates enough. So I like watching Los Angeles struggle.
I do, too. Nice. It's a beautiful thing.
But I say that now. But they'll probably find their way into the playoffs at like number seven, number six, and LeBron will LeBron. He'll do his LeBron.
I like watching them win.
I know you do.
They have a lot of guys on that team I really enjoy. They have like Kyle Kuzma and Josh Hart, and JaVale McGee's a lot of fun to watch. And then
JaVale McGee.
And then Brandon Ingram. He's really been a surprise. Nobody really knows what you're going to get out of the guy. Half the time he looks like he could be a star, and then half the time he looks like he's a bust. And then people thought that throwing LeBron in there was going to help him be consistent.
Yeah.
And it hasn't yet. Half the games he's looked like a star. Half the games he's looked garbage.
He brought the headband back, though.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know if it did anything, but he brought it back.
Hey, they won the game. He did.
Did they?
Yeah. That was against the Timberwolves when he did that.
Hey.
Yeah.
Speaking of Minnesota, is D. Rose back? Like, is he back? Is D. Rose back or is Derrick Rose back?
D. Rose? D. Rose is back, man. You know, in the fourth quarter of games, when they're consistently giving Derrick Rose the ball, when Jimmy Butler is referring to Derrick Rose in like the final minutes of their games, it's like, this dude's back.
Yeah.
Scoring like 30 points a game, it's like, heck yeah.
He's actually averaging more points this year than he did in his rookie year when he was like going off.
Really?
In that year, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's playing really good basketball.
It's good to see him back.
It is. It's great. I love it so much.
The only thing that Minnesota does not have going for them, and this is going to be a total and complete shocker to everybody who watches basketball, is they don't know how to rebound. They're one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA.
Yeah, they are.
And they got one good rebounder, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Carl Anthony Towns.
But D-Rose is back.
But he's
so
back.
So it's okay.
Yes.
I have a problem with Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah?
I don't know if I'm the only one who thinks this. There's got to be some other people who think this, but the dude is not aggressive enough.
Yeah.
He defers all the time. Especially when him and Jimmy are on the floor together, Carl just is a total non-factor in that offense. The only time he ever scores anything is when he's able to get an offensive rebound and put it back in. But like, he'll just stand in the corner and just stand there for possession after possession after possession. And it's like, who do I blame for that?
Do you think he's just tired of Jimmy Butler, like behind the scenes? Because Jimmy hasn't been talking a whole lot recently.
Right.
So you think it's just like a lot of behind the scenes trash going on right now?
Well, yeah, there is definitely.
Yeah.
But in terms of their on-court performance, it's hard to say whether or not it's Carl not being aggressive or whether it's Jimmy kind of trying to punish him, in a sense. Just like not giving him the ball, saying you have to earn it first. But I don't think Jimmy's in that position, really. I don't think the guys there really respect him all that much.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really work. And I think that's why Derrick Rose has kind of taken a leadership position with the team now, is because I don't think they had any leadership. You know, Jimmy can act like he's a leader all he wants, but nobody was following him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now Derek starts playing well. These guys are hugging him. They're like celebrating with him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're all kind of rallied behind Derek. And even though they haven't won every game, but that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. I don't think Jimmy is really I don't think Jimmy has control of the locker room. And I think because of that, guys like Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins have struggled, but I don't know. That team's interesting. It really is, because Andrew Wiggins hasn't really played with that much fire since he got his contract.
Yeah.
He got a bunch of money, and whenever you see him now, he's kind of like sulking. He's just kind of like, I got $150 million.
That's all he cares about.
Why do I care? Yeah. Like, why do I care?
Yeah.
I love how Derrick Rose how he's handling this whole thing is hilarious, because sometimes Butler will play, sometimes he won't. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Cat will go off. He hasn't really that much. Sometimes he'll have a good game. Sometimes he won't. Rose is kind of there saying, okay, well, you guys are having your, you know, rehash of the next episode of Riverdale. I'm going to go out and drop 50. And you all can, you know, you can carry me. And I'll just go do it. And it's hilarious.
Yeah, they say, yeah, he says, like, you follow behind me.
It's hilarious.
I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be the star.
Yeah.
You know what
While
I mean?
You guys are pouting and working out this drama, I'm going to try to win games for
and
us.
That's what a leader does.
Because he is a leader. That's D. Rose, baby.
A leader doesn't sit there and call out his own teammates in practice and, yell, and yell at the coach that he needs him. Like, come on, man.
Trash.
We're talking about practice, man.
We're talking about practice, man.
I love Allen Iverson.
He's great.
He's the best. Do we have any college football stuff to talk about today? Matt,
gosh,
you got anything
man.
On your heart? Boston I've College is going to win tonight.
I've already gotten out everything on my heart about Auburn, man. I don't want to become
I
too
feel bad for you, dog.
I don't want to become too much of a revolving door. Because that's pretty much all I am with Auburn.
Whoa, Zach just freaked out. Breaking news. Breaking news. Jimmy Butler's getting traded.
Listen.
Oh, this is... You're hearing this now from the Lockdown Podcast. I've been waiting for this to happen. Timberwolves agree to trade Jimmy Butler to the 76ers for Robert Covington and Dario Saric.
What?
Oh, dang.
Oh.
What a trade.
It happened. It finally happened.
What?
It happened.
That's awesome.
That's a good trade for Minnesota, too.
Yeah.
They got two really talented forwards right there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Philly, man.
I like that for both sides.
Wow.
Did they give up any picks?
No, right now it just says, the ESPN says, after a standoff that was stretched into the first part of the season, the Minnesota Timberwolves have agreed to trade Jimmy Butler to the 76ers, who told Waj and Zach Lowe, and they're going to get back Robert Covington and Dario Saric. That's it.
That's crazy.
That's so crazy,
Dang.
I didn't see that coming.
I've been waiting for something to break while we're recording the podcast.
Yes.
At 12:56 on Saturday, December. What in the month are we? November.
November 10th.
November 10th, December.
2018.
Woo! Nice.
That's
Thoughts,
actually
Matt?
A fantastic move for both teams.
Yeah. It's a win-win.
Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid.
Yeah. I mean, that starting court for them is nasty. And for the Timberwolves, they were starting Taj Gibson at the four. And he was out there shooting three-pointers. And it's like, dude, you can't shoot three-pointers. You're garbage.
Yeah.
Sarge is like 6'10".
Yeah. He's like 6'10". He's money from three. He can stretch the four. He can play defense. They got a real stretch four on that team now.
Yeah.
And they're going to be a little rough at the two guard. Maybe Derrick Rose needs to be the point, though. It's tough for them. They got a rookie they can play there, but...
They could put Wiggins at the two.
They could.
They could put D-Rose at one, Wiggins at two, Covington three, Sarge four, Cat at five.
That's very true. They could do that. That gives them a lot of shooting and a lot of length.
Wiggins is versatile. He can be a shooting guard or a small forward.
Yeah. That's actually really good.
That's a deep lineup.
Oh,
I like it.
Oh, dang.
I like the 76ers, too. That's going to be fun.
That's an awesome trade. I'm so happy about that.
That's pretty dope, man. It's good for Philly and good for Minnesota.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just so happy. We could have stopped this podcast 10 minutes ago and then had to be like, great, now I have to wait until next week to talk about it.
Oh, man.
That just made my whole weekend. That was amazing. I love this podcast.
It's great. I love it.
This is awesome.
What do we want to... How do we want to pull this podcast back? What do we want to talk about right now, guys?
I don't think there's anything left to say.
Hey, let's just be real here for a second to wrap this show up. Clemson's going to manhandle Boston College tonight. I don't think it's going to be a competition. I hope Boston College wins. Who else plays today?
You're hating on the Golden Eagles, man?
I love the Golden Eagles.
Do you?
No. nobody in Massachusetts cares about the Golden Eagles.
Nobody.
Nobody does. Ohio State plays Michigan State today at 12. Actually, they're on now. I don't know how that game's going to go. I don't really care
think
about
Ohio
that
State.
Team.
I have no idea. I haven't seen Michigan State much this year.
Let me pull the score.
Notre Dame hosts FSU without Ian Book, and FSU is going to get blown out once again.
Dude.
Maybe not. Maybe they'll win.
You're not winning. Yeah, that's one team I have literally no confidence in at all.
My sports year may not be very good for me. But I take so much happiness in the fact that FSU is garbage.
They're so bad. They're so bad. Listen, Chris, I'm a big Hurricanes fan too, so we're just embracing the suck together.
Let's do it.
We can all embrace the suck.
Hey! We all suck. Thanks, Auburn, Miami, and FSU. You're ruining our college football lives.
Auburn athletic director confirmed Gus is coming back for next year. And I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to go ahead and end it all right now.
Oh, man. Wow, what a show.
We're gonna end with that.
Jimmy Butler got traded. The story's reached its next chapter. Jimmy Butler has been traded. You heard it here, probably not first, but we heard it here first.
We had to break the news to everybody.
We broke the news to people are gonna listen to this on Monday morning.
The Lockdown Podcast.
We'll have a live show.
Episode 6.
We should do a live show.
We'll do a live show when we get more than 20 listeners a podcast. When we hit 50, we'll do a live show.
There it is.
Hey, we've done that.
We hit 70 our first episode.
We did.
Listeners, what are you doing? Share with your friends. Come on. Just kidding. We love you. Hey, speaking of the podcast, we are available on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox. I'm struggling right now to get through this. Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Stitcher.
Yeah.
I think Zach wanted us to go in with him together.
I tried to orchestrate. That didn't work.
I think he's still getting over the Jimmy Butler trade.
I'm still freaking amped about that. I'm so happy it broke here. Hey, I don't know why I'm saying it broke here. It didn't break here. Waj broke it.
We're not a live show.
So people are going to listen like next Thursday. Like, why are they freaking out about this? I just hope you guys know how happy we all are right now.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm on Twitter at the Ice Z. You can throw some smoke at me. The Lockdown Pod is on Instagram at Lockdown Pod. We're on Facebook at Lockdown Pod. And we are on Twitter at Lockdown Pod. Interact with us. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. Give suggestions. I don't care. Throw the smoke. I dare you.
Do it.
I'll get feisty.
He gets real feisty.
I get real feisty.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.